Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in Paramount Pictures' exciting story of romance and suspense, Love Letters, which was produced by Hal Wallace. It stars Loretta Young as Singleton and Rex Harrison as Allen, with Paula Winslow as Dilly. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Love Letters.
It was a curious thing, very curious. Yet I forgot it almost as soon as it happened. That night at Dilly Carson's party, when my brother Derek was introducing me around.
This is my brother, and I expect you girls to be properly impressed. Alan, this is Jane Foley, Janet Campbell, and this is Singleton.
Just Singleton?
Yes, just Singleton.
Well, that's all, just that. I might have been curious, but I was in a mood. I was leaving London that night and going up to the country. I'd been depressed and dissatisfied for weeks. So I had a drink, and a second drink, and a third drink, and after that I stopped counting. Next thing I knew, I was standing there in the middle of the room, a glass in my hand, empty, of course, and Dilly was saying...
Go on, Captain. Don't stop now.
Where's everyone?
Gone. I promised I'd see you to the train. You've, been rather...
Yes, I can imagine. Did I do anything I shouldn't have?
No, just talk.
About what?
Well, the usual thing. A girl. I gathered her name was Victoria.
Oh, I've been talking about her.
Only for the last half hour. Who is she, Captain?
I don't know. I've never seen her.
Well, then how did she come in?
I used to write to her during the war. I wrote for a chap who was in love with her. Roger Morland.
Roger Morland?
Yes, not a very nice sort. They'd met at an officer's dance and she'd written to him and he wanted to write to her too, but he couldn't write the sort of thing he felt she'd want.
What sort of thing?
I think of you, my dearest, as a distant promise of beauty, untouched by the world. If I never see you again, my last thought would be that I had fought for you and lost.
Go on.
It was terrible waiting for you, but finding you was such a great miracle that anything... Oh, you know, that sort of thing.
You wrote that for him?
He was in love with her. They were married when he came out on leave. Someone told me later that he died, some sort of accident. It happened while I was still in hospital.
And you? You'd fallen in love with Victoria?
I didn't say that. Why are you so interested?
Well, I just am, that's all.
But why are you?
Please, no more questions now. You really aren't up to it. Just remember my name. You've still got that, haven't you?
Dilly Carson. All this mysterious nonsense. One would think there'd been a murder.
Oh, come along. I'd better get you to your train.
The country, my new home, didn't help very much. For days I walked the dusty roads alone, walked very fast as though to run away from my thoughts. And in the end, each day, one thought went home with me. I knew now why I'd come to live in this lonely spot. It was Essex, you see. And Essex, that was the country where she used to live. I could remember how I'd addressed the envelope. That was before she married Roger Morland. Miss Victoria Remington, Meadow Farm, Long Beach, Essex. And something within me, something kept asking, why not? Why not? And I had no answer, so one afternoon I hired a rig and drove about 20 miles to Meadow Farm. Ah, it was a dismal place. Badly needed care. And so did the man who opened the door.
Well, what is it? What's your business?
I want to know if Mrs. Victoria Morland still lives here.
Who?
Mrs. Victoria Morland.
No, dead.
Dead? When?
I don't know. Sometime about a year ago.
Well, could you...
And don't be asking so many questions.
Well, a sudden shock like that, a slamming door, sometimes it jars loose a little fragment of the memory. It was strange, but as I stood there, I could hear myself saying to Dilly Carson, one would think there'd been a murder. It was just a hunch, the wildest sort of guess, but it took me to London that very afternoon, to the file room of the Daily Journal. I don't know how many hours I was there. I didn't even know what I was looking for till finally I turned a page and there it was. October the 18th, the year before. Meadow Farm murder shocks countryside. Well, after a while, the words stopped dancing. I read the whole horrible story. Then, almost without being aware of it, I found myself ringing Dilly Carson's bell.
Yes? Oh, hello, Alan. Come in.
Thank you. I should like to see Miss Carson, please.
Oh, well, Dilly just stepped out to the store. She'll be right back.
Oh.
You don't flatter me by looking so blank. We've met, you know.
Have we?
Yes.
Well, it doesn't seem possible.
Why?
Well, I couldn't have forgotten you. You're too beautiful.
Oh, I like that. Now, really, don't you remember me being here before?
Well, vaguely, yes. I can't quite...
Oh, I'm not going to torture you. It was a party. You were drinking.
Oh. Well, you'll have to forgive me. At the moment, everything seems
What's the matter? Oh, you're unhappy.
Yes.
And frightened?
Yes, I've just learned something very terrible.
Oh, can I help in any way?
Well, perhaps. I came here to ask Dilly. Do you know Victoria Morland?
Victoria Morland? No, I've never heard of her.
I'm sure Dilly knew her.
Oh, but I know all of Dilly's friends, and I've never heard her speak of Victoria Morland.
Oh, well, never mind. It doesn't matter now.
Oh, but it does matter. You're in love with her, aren't you?
Yes.
You've been in love with her for a long time.
Yes.
And you've lost her.
Who are you? Really, where did I meet you?
Right here in this room, at the party. I'm Singleton.
Oh, of course. How stupid of me.
Oh, I wanted to talk to you that night so much, but Dilly kept me away from you.
Why?
I don't know. Every time I got close to you, she'd say...
Singleton!
Oh, Dilly, I didn't hear you come in. Look, Alan's here.
So I see.
I hope I'm welcome. You invited me, you know.
Yes, I remember I did, but...
You know, Dilly, we've been having a wonderful talk. Alan likes me. He thinks I'm beautiful.
Oh, bother. I forgot the porridge, and we haven't a thing for breakfast.
Oh,
Singleton, would you mind? It's just to the corner, and
oh,
I'm so
of course,
tired.
Darling, I'll go.
Pearson's breakfast oats, the large size.
I know, but don't let Alan get away before I come back. You know, the next time he might not remember me at all.
Well?
In that paper bag you're holding, isn't that a package of Pearson's breakfast oats?
You're very observant.
All right, I don't have to explain. I just came to ask you one thing. Where is Victoria Morland? I asked you, where is Victoria Morland?
She just went through that door.
I don't believe it. The name Victoria Morland meant nothing to her. Nobody could put on an act like that.
It's not an act. I suppose you know about the murder.
Just what I read in the paper, an old issue of the Journal. I read your statement, how the hired man had come running to your place that night and how you'd hurried over to Meadow Farm and walked in and found her there.
She was sitting on the floor in a white dress. A white dress all splotched with big red stains. Just sitting there, staring, holding the butcher knife in her hand. She didn't even know who I was. Me, her best friend.
The account said that Roger was lying there by the fire and the aunt, Mrs. Remington...
Oh, Beatrice Remington was an old maid. The only person she'd ever loved was Victoria. She'd adopted her when she was 12, a foundling. At the orphanage, they'd given her the name of Victoria Singleton.
Oh, that's where Singleton comes from.
That's all she remembered after the murder. The shock had blanked her mind of everything else. Everything but what she knew as a child.
Then she didn't remember the murder either.
Oh, no. She had no idea of how Roger was killed, how she happened to be sitting there in that stained dress with a knife in her hand.
And Mrs. Remington?
Well, the excitement had apparently brought on a stroke. She'd had one or two light ones before. They found her lying on the floor. All she could manage to whisper was, "He struck her. He struck her." After that, she couldn't talk at all. A complete paralysis.
Yeah.
But I think those few words saved Victoria's life.
And her mind. What about that?
Oh, she's forgotten everything. Roger, Meadow Farm, her marriage, even her own name. All she remembers is her childhood, the orphanage. The name they gave her there, Singleton.
Has she seen Mrs. Remington?
Oh, no. The doctors won't let her visit her. They think it might be too great a shock. It might bring back too much too suddenly.
And that'd be dangerous.
It might restore her memory and destroy her mind.
I see. Did you know Roger Morland?
Yes. I met him when Victoria did. I didn't like him.
Neither did I. He was no good.
But Victoria thought she was in love with him. It was really the letters.
Yes, the letters. The letters I wrote. I'm the one who's responsible. I'm the one who's guilty. I made her a murderess.
You're the man she loved. You're the man she thought she married. And you can never tell her.
If she remembers my letters, she's still in love with me. And if she doesn't and I tell her, she'd probably hate me.
Oh, it's hopeless, isn't it?
Yes, it's... I'd better go along now.
Oh, but I promised to keep you here. What will I tell her?
Anything, it doesn't matter. Say I left because I'm in love with Victoria Morland.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Have you ever looked around among a group of your friends and asked yourself this question? How many have skin that looks tired? Skin that looks older than they really are? You see it everywhere, and it's tragic because it's so unnecessary. You see, many women never quite get rid of a clinging, oily film which clouds their skin. When you remove that clouding film, the difference is startling. Once each day, smooth on Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, then wipe it off. Now, the important part, immediately repeat this treatment. The first time removes only surface soil and makeup. The second application gets after that clinging, clouding film. Immediately, your skin feels smoother and softer, and your own eyes see the new tone and color, the fresh, clear, younger look. Because Lady Esther four-purpose face cream by itself not only thoroughly cleanses your skin, it also softens your skin, helps nature refine the pores, and leaves a perfect base for powder. It needs no help from any other cream. Try my new treatment with Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. The difference in your skin will be as noticeable to others as it is to you. And whether they say it or not, you'll see it in their admiring and slightly envious looks. How does she keep looking so fresh and clear-skinned? Why, her skin really looks years younger.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of Love Letter, starring Rex Harrison and Loretta Young, with Paula Winslow.
The next week, I tramped the country roads again, thinking, trying to find some answer, but the more I thought, the more hopeless it seemed. Until that afternoon when I returned to Stone House, tired and worried. And as I walked into the living room...
Hello, Alan.
Singleton.
Uh-huh.
you shouldn't be here.
Oh, why not?
Well, what am I going to do with you?
Well, why don't you try saying hello?
Hello?
Oh, that's better.
How long have you been here?
Oh, about an hour. I've been waiting for you.
Why?
Because you didn't come back to see me. And I was afraid you decided never to see me again, had you?
No.
Oh, then it's quite all right for me to be here. And you shouldn't look so shocked and embarrassed.
Singleton, you know, one doesn't do things like this.
Oh, this one does, and after all, it's quite proper. Oh, Alan, you're in love with someone else, with a girl named Victoria Morland. And you know, in a way, Victoria Morland is my chaperone.
Yes, I suppose she is.
Yes.
But what about Dilly? She'll
what
be worried
her?
Sick about you.
Oh, would you...
No, I'm going to call her and tell her I'm bringing you home.
Oh, please,
no, I'll take you back in the train myself.
Oh, please. Anyway, not the train that goes in an hour.
All right. Well, the one that goes in 2 hours.
All right.
And no later.
Mac had your supper already, and then he made me eat that. And then there wasn't anything for you, and so he had to trundle off to the village and... Well, you see.
Yes, I see.
Oh, Alan. Alan, we can be such good friends. We're so safe.
Safe?
Yes. Well, you see, you're in love with Victoria Morland, and I can never be in love. And so we don't have to be afraid of each other as men and women usually are.
Why,
Why can't you ever be in love?
Well, because I... Alan, has Dilly told me anything? I mean, you, anything about me?
Yes.
Oh, you needn't be afraid to speak of it. It's not a secret, you know. There were so many things. If I could only remember them, I... Alan, tell me about Victoria.
I'd rather not talk about her.
Oh. Oh, you'll find her someday. And you'll be very happy with her. And I really don't mind that, you see, because right now you're happy with me, aren't you?
Yes.
And right now is all I can ever have. Alan, you'll come to see me once in a while.
Of course.
But don't let me know, will you? Just come. Don't telephone. Alan, there's one thing I'm afraid of. I better tell you now.
What?
Well, it frightens me to receive a letter.
Why? Why does it frighten you?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I can't write.
You've forgotten that, too?
Yes. I can read, but I've forgotten how to make handwritten letters. I wanted to learn again. But, well, I'm afraid.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, it's almost time. We'd better get along.
Oh, all right. Alan, just for this once, for goodbye, I mean... Oh, Alan, could you kiss me goodbye?
Oh, Singleton.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
Look, Singleton, I...
Oh, Alan, please, you mustn't be sad. You see, that's the difference between us. You're sad because you think you shouldn't have kissed me. And I'm happy because you did.
She loved me. I knew that now. She loved me just as I loved her. Singleton loved me, but what about Victoria? What would happen if her memory returned? Night after night, I asked myself that, and finally I knew there could be only one way. Two lives or none. I had to chance it. It was summer by then. Late one afternoon, we'd been sitting on the river bank.
Alan, you've been so quiet today. Oh, Alan, what is it? What are you thinking?
Oh, you know, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Then there isn't any need for me to speak.
No, darling. But, Alan, Victoria Morland...
Oh, that's gone and finished. My past is as dead as yours. We'll make a new beginning together.
Oh, I know you love me, but you can't really know it until we find her again.
Singleton, trust me. I'm sure. If you love me, you'll never think of her again.
Oh, I love you, Alan. I do love you.
Well, then, I suppose I ought to make it formal.
What?
Will you marry me, Singleton?
Alan?
Singleton, darling, what is it?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. I don't understand it. I knew what you were going to say, and I was so happy. And then, when you said, will you marry me, something happened. I don't know what, but
darling,
something frightening, Alan.
But darling, please, you mustn't be upset.
Oh, Alan. Alan, there's something in my past. It's something horrible. Alan, if I remember someday, it might hurt you. Alan, I couldn't bear to hurt you.
Nothing could hurt me now except to lose you.
No.
I love you. Oh. I love you no matter what's happened or is to happen. That's all that matters.
Yes, that's all that matters. Then let's try it once more. Say it again.
Why?
I want to see if it frightens me again. Say it, Alan.
Will you marry me, Singleton?
Oh, yes. I, Singleton, take thee, Roger. Roger. I'm so sorry. I...
Don't be frightened, my child.
No.
Now repeat after me.
Yes.
I, Singleton, take thee, Alan.
I, Singleton, take thee, Alan, to my wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or worse. My husband, my ring, my house. Oh, Alan, I'm so happy I could... Alan? Alan, in church, why did I suddenly say that name? Roger?
Oh, but you were nervous. It's just a slip of the tongue.
Yes. Yes, but why Roger? I don't know anybody named Roger.
Well, darling, it's not an unusual name.
I don't know how I could have come to say it. I was so sure of the words, and suddenly, when I started, It was just as though they spoke themselves. As if another person spoke for me. Oh, Alan, do you think I'll ever know? Do you think I'll ever remember?
I don't know, darling. I don't know.
It must have started with the wedding service, the repetition of the scene she'd known before. And through the week that followed, there were other signs. That morning when she saw the mailman walking up to our door.
Alan, make him go away! Make him go away, Alan, I'm afraid!
And then the first time she saw me write my name.
It's pretty, Alan. Oh, it's such lovely writing. And oh, Alan, it frightens me.
Darling.
Alan, I couldn't have, and yet I'm sure I've seen that writing before.
And finally that morning when I found her in the garden.
Good morning, Alan. I was up so early, I thought I'd pick some berries for your breakfast.
Oh, nice.
I think I've got enough now, so we can go inside and... Alan!
Darling, what is it?
Alan, my dress, it's blood. Wipe it away.
Darling.
Alan, wipe it away!
No, darling, it's only fruit stains.
No,
it's all
no, no, it
those berries
blood.
You've been picking.
Alan, please! Alan, I don't want to see Aunt Beatrice.
Aunt Beatrice?
No, no. Alan, this isn't the house. It was another house. It was night.
Darling.
Alan, what happened that night? Alan, what did I do? What did I do, Alan?
I was frightened now. I knew I had to learn the truth. I had to see Aunt Beatrice, Mrs. Remington. Next morning, I took the train to London, hurried to the nursing home. But when I inquired for Mrs. Remington...
She's so much improved, sir. She's been quite a problem. Fact is, she packed up and left us 2 days ago.
Singleton! Singleton!
Mr. Allen, she's gone.
Gone? Gone where, Mac?
I don't know, sir. I've looked everywhere. I missed her just after the letter came.
What letter?
Here it is, sir, this one. The mailman brought it just after you'd gone. And she opened it and read it, and next time I looked up for her, I... What is it, Mr. Allen? Not bad news, sir?
I know where she's gone, Mac. Now... I can get there in time.
You see, Mrs. Remington, I read your letter to my husband. You wrote that you wanted to speak to him about Victoria, and... Well, that's really the reason I came. I'd give anything to find her.
Why?
Because my husband's in love with her.
You're jealous of her?
Oh, no, no, no. I want to give him up.
Because you don't love him?
Oh, no, because I love him very much. Because I want him to find some happiness with her, you see. I can't remain with him any longer.
Why not?
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. But I know there was a knife and a white dress and a fire burning and... Oh, please, I don't want Alan to know. I don't want to hurt him. He could still find some happiness with Victoria.
You may be right, my dear. I'll help you find her.
Oh, thank you.
Victoria Morland was my ward. I loved her more than anything in the world. And yet I couldn't save her from Roger Morland.
Roger Morland. Roger Morland wrote letters?
Yes. And Victoria thought she loved him. I didn't want her to marry him, but I couldn't stop her. They eloped.
He wasn't like his letters.
No. And I knew she was unhappy. She'd go for long walks alone for hours. And when she came back, I could tell she'd been crying. Then, that night, they were sitting in this room. Roger was sitting...
In that chair?
By the fireplace. There was a lamp...
On that table?
By the desk. The door was open, and I could hear their voices. I was...
Out in the kitchen, fixing supper. And Roger was drinking.
He was always drinking.
And I wore a white dress. Sitting there at the desk. Reading through his letters again.
Which made him very angry, of course. Because he knew he hadn't written those letters.
He told me so. He told me so that night. He said he was sick of living with a ghost. He snatched the letters out of my hand and went to throw them into the fire.
He cried out, ran toward him to save them. You didn't see me. I'd come to the door. I don't think I even knew I still had the butcher knife in my hand.
I tried to get the letters. Roger struck me. And then...
Oh, Aunt Beatrice.
Yes, Victoria. I killed him. I couldn't tell them the truth in time. And when I regained my voice, it was too late.
Oh, it was all my fault. It was because I loved a man who didn't exist. Who was he?
Victoria.
Who wrote those... Alan! Oh, Alan, you've heard. You've heard everything.
Yes.
Oh, darling, then you must know, Alan. I found Victoria Morland for you.
And the man who wrote those letters? Would you hate him, do you think? For what he'd done to you?
I don't know. But it doesn't matter now.
But it does matter. It matters very much. I think of you, my dearest, as a distant promise of beauty, untouched by the world.
Alan.
If I never see you again, my last thought will be that I had fought for you.
Alan.
And lost.
It was terrible waiting for you. The finding you was such a great miracle that anything I suffered seemed only a small payment in return.
Victoria.
Oh, Alan, Alan, Alan.
Thank you, Rex Harrison and Loretta Young, for a deeply moving story. We hope you will be back with us soon again.
Well, you can count on both of us, Mr. Bradley. For that matter, you can count on every actor and actress in Hollywood, because we all know the wonderful work being done by the Motion Picture Relief Fund and his county house. And we know that work is made possible largely by this radio program. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Young. Ladies, if I could be with you in your home right now, talking about your beauty problems, I'm quite sure we'd get to the subject of that stubborn, clinging, oily film which clouds the skin of so many women, making it look tired and older. When your skin does not have a clear, fresh, young look, it's almost always because that oily, stubborn film is never really removed. But you can do it in this way. Smooth on Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, then wipe it off. Now, the important part, at least once a day, repeat this treatment immediately. Again, smooth on Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. Again, wipe it off. Notice how the first time removes makeup and surface dirt, but the important second cleansing gets out that clinging, clouding, oily film which makes your skin look tired. So your skin immediately looks cleaner, fresher, clearer, and far younger. So much so, it will almost startle you. You see, each time you use it, Lady Esther four-purpose face cream does the four things your skin needs most for beauty. And it's so gentle and soft, you don't have to massage and rub at your skin. My cream itself does the work, not your fingers. And it needs no help from any other cream. Try this refreshing treatment on your skin tonight with Lady Esther four-purpose face cream. And I promise, tomorrow you'll be complimented on the difference in your skin. A difference which wipes away the years.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present The Last of Mrs. Cheney. It will star Joan Fontaine, David Niven, and Nigel Bruce. Be sure to listen. Love Letters was produced and directed for Lady Esther by Bill Lawrence, adapted by Harry Cronman, and was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, whose current release is 2 years before the mast, starring Alan Ladd, William Bendix, and Barry Fitzgerald. Loretta Young will soon be seen in The Perfect Marriage, a Hal Wallace production for Paramount. Rex Harrison appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox and will soon be seen in their forthcoming production, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tonight's Lady Esther Screen Guild show is being heard by our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide shortwave and network facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.